Take your Bibles tonight, and we're going to be in the book of Judges. Judges, and you'll turn with me. We're going to cover some things in chapters number 6, chapter 7, and also in chapter number 8. And I want to just lay a little bit of groundwork tonight in those first chapters. And then I want to bring a very familiar thought out of chapter number 8 tonight. And let's just mind the Lord. It is Friday night Jubilee. I didn't really realize that till earlier. And so we're going to try to give something to the young people tonight. And anything will be helpful. I'm glad that whoever's doing the preaching, if you're doing the listening, amen, you can get some help, amen. And I believe that's what God wants to do tonight. I believe God wants to change your life tonight, don't you? We're not going to get what we need to be able to. And by the way, I'm not enduring. I'm enjoying the journey. Amen. Amen goes right there. But I believe we're going to get what we need from God. Amen in our prayer time and at the house of God. So much the more as you see the day approaching. We're seeing a very wicked day. I believe we're getting closer to His return more now than we've ever been. And He's coming back. Amen. But when He comes back, I don't want to be on the sidelines. Say amen right there. Let's stand together tonight. Judges chapter number 8. Judges chapter number 8. And I'll deal a little bit with the background of the scripture here. And as we get to that. But I want to begin reading Judges chapter number 8. And let's look in verse number 13. The Bible said, "And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from battle before the sun was up, and called a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him, and he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 70 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth, and he said, Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom you did upbraid me, saying, Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city, and thorns of the wilderness, and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Peniel, and slew the men of the city. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, As thou art, so were they, each one resembled the children of a king. Do you resemble the child of a king tonight? Do you resemble the child of a king? Amen. And he said, They were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, Up and slay them. But the youth drew not his sword. Why is that? For he feared, because he was yet a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, Rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camel's neck. Thank you for standing. You can be seated tonight. I'm interested in this passage. I'll give my title in just a little bit. But you pray with us tonight. God will give us clarity. I agree with the pastor. I believe God wants to help us. Amen. My Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house tonight. God, you have ordained every song, every testimony, every thought, every word from God's man tonight already. You've ordained that, God, to be an encouragement to your people. Now, Lord, so often we feel like we're the minority, but I'm glad, God, that because of you, we are in the majority. We are on the winning side. And so, God, tonight I pray, Lord, that you will help us to overcome that spirit of defeat. God, help us tonight to leave with joy and victory in our soul. God, help me tomorrow as I represent Jesus Christ. God, put joy and victory in my soul. I'm glad, God, tonight that He which hath begun a good work in us, I'm glad, God, that you will finish that great work. Now, Father, I beg of your touch. I beg of your power. God, don't let us stand tonight where we cannot stand in our own power. Use now, God. Touch hearts and lives. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen and amen. I love the book of Judges. I find as you read this book of the Bible, you'll find that Judges is a transitional book. That God is now, He begins to raise up these judges and these different men. All kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of works, different kinds of ministries. And God goes through each chapter raising up man after man who will do the work of God. Could I say this? That there is a pattern there that when one man goes off the scene, God desires to raise up another man to stand in that gap and keep the work of the Lord going. I thought about this. How sad would it be to come by RBT years from now and not hear the joy of the youth choir and not hear the preaching of the Word of God? Brother Silas, not feel the Spirit of God moving in might and power. Could I say this? That when one man falls, when one generation passes away, may God raise up a generation of those who will stand by the stuff, of those who will stand by the Word of God, and raise up a generation that come lock, stock, and barrel. They're going for God. Amen. And so God does that here in the book of Judges. I'm interested here in the beginning stages of in this life of Gideon. Look back now at several things about God calling Gideon into this work God has for him. Now in Judges chapter number 6, the people of God are being oppressed by the Midianites. Let me remind you that these Midianites are coming in and they're taking the treasures away, they're taking the crops away, and the devil is not coming after your heartaches. He is coming after the blessings of God in your life. Can I say this, young people? He's coming after your joy. He's coming after your walk. He's coming after your purity. He's coming after your life. Mamas and daddies, He's coming after your joy. He's coming after your victory. The great things that God has put in us. There's a devil out there on the loose, and he desires to take the good things of God from you. But could I say this, child of God? There are some things that are worth dying for. And there's some things that are worth fighting for. And God's been too good for you and I to lay the cross down. And God's been too good for you and I to quit serving God. May God help us to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. He didn't, Brother Craig, he didn't say to wish the good fight of faith. Amen. He didn't say to, amen, let me Joel Osteen a little bit. He didn't think, smile a good fight of faith. He said to fight the good fight of faith. And in 2015, you have to fight your flesh, and you have to fight the world, and you have to fight the devil. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that can still give victory, and He can still give joy, and He can still do a work. He'd make up in your mind, I want victory, amen. And so God begins to raise up Gideon here to help the people of God to fight this good fight. Notice, if you will, I believe in verse 11, the Bible said, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which is in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Amen. Amen. He saw Gideon and he said, listen, Gideon, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. To put it in good Rogersville terms, here is Gideon there saying, "Who you ain't talking about me, you're talking about somebody else." Amen. And God calls Gideon here. Can I say this? That there's a God in heaven that desires to use your life regardless of who you are and regardless of your background and regardless of your abilities. There's a God in heaven that can put His touch on you and make much of you if you make much of Jesus. No telling what God can do in your life. And so God is calling you. This helped me, Brother Rackley. In the middle of all this turmoil, God was still raising up a man. Woo! Amen.
in the middle of all the trouble. I'm glad God was not done working. Can I say in 2015, God is not done working. In 2015, God is not dead. I thank God the cross is still risen. And thank God the tomb is still empty. Thank God grace ain't ran dry and mercy ain't ran dry. He's still God. He's still God. He's still God. And He changes not, amen. In the middle of all the turmoil, God reaches down and He says, Gideon, I have a work for you to do. Could I say this? In 2015, God is reaching down and God is still saying, you, I want you to go preach my word. Oh, me. Amen. Hey, I remember being a five-year-old boy, my name pastoring a church. I remember I'd go down to the nursery, Brother Silas, and I'd set up the stuffed animals in the nursery. Amen. I'd turn me a couple of milk cartons over, make a pulpit, and I'd blow that crowd of teddy bears out. Amen. I remember being a little boy saying, boy, I sure would like to preach one day. Just as a little boy, Brother Rack, there was a churning and a desire. Thank God, Brother Craig, I got saved at 14 years old. 14 years old, Jesus Christ. Hey, man, it's good to be saved. Hey, it's good to be saved. You say, preacher, I don't know about that. Well, you might just need to get those old time salvation. I said, it's good to be saved. I remember when the Lord saved, and I know this might mess up some theology, and that's okay. But when I got up from being saved, I'm telling you, Brother Lucas, when I got up from that altar, I knew God wanted me to preach. You said, now wait a minute, you supposed to run for 2 or 3 years, and all I know is this, that God saved me, and before I got back to my pew, I knew God wanted me to preach. But I'm telling you, I'm still excited that God would save me, and God would let me preach His word, and God let me stand behind the sacred desk, and in 2015 be a preacher of God's word. It's an honor, it's a joy, it's a battle, it's a desire to serve Him. I can't believe it, friend. Oh, but it's good to be saved. It's good to be a preacher of the gospel. Thank God for preachers. Thank God for God's men. Thank God, Brother Rackley. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God for His men. Amen. Amen. God ever told you to do something and you thought, my Lord, you want me to do that? Amen. Brother Credit, you remember when God gave you the opportunity to work with that youth choir, or to be a youth leader, or teach a Sunday school class, and you thought, Lord, you want me to do that? God, don't you? God, I used to be this, I used to be that. I'm glad God can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost, and God can change your life. And just like God called Gideon, I'm glad God can call your life. I'm glad God can use you. I'm glad God can make you. No telling what God will do if you give your life to Him. And then I thought about this. Notice in our text that Gideon, in verse 15, here's what he said. He said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Here's what God said in verse 15 and 16, that for every excuse you have, thank God there's grace that says you can. Woo! Amen. You're going to face some crossroads in your life. And you're going to face some mountains in your life. And you're going to face some bad news in your life. And you're going to face some impossibilities in your life. But for every time you say, I can't, there's a God that says you can. Every time you say, I can't do this, I thank God the Holy Ghost says you can. Your calling says you can. Your Bible says you can. Thank God, God living inside of you. You say, preacher, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go another day. I can't fight another battle. I'm glad there's a God in heaven and says, yes, you can. Amen. Preacher, my life, I'm just one person. I can't do much. Yes, you can. Not on the authority of my word, but on the authority of His Word. Yes, you can. So now God calls Gideon. God settles some things. And then you get to chapter number, same chapter, and now you'll find that Gideon builds an altar. Same chapter, verse number 22, I believe it is. And then down in verse number 25, verse 26, he builds an altar. The Word of God is filled with altars. Abraham had an altar of dedication. Elijah has an altar of decision. God the Father had an altar of deliverance. And Gideon now has an altar of discernment. Amen. Brother Primer, he's trying to discern what God wants in his life. He isn't just rushing toward every opportunity and every door as if he's waiting a little bit to find out what God wants from his life. The mentality, here's why I said that. The mentality, Miss Morgan, is this. That you plan your life and then somewhere find out where God fits in. The mentality of the world is, well, you go ahead and get this, you get this, you do your thing, and then somewhere you find a place for God. Could I say this? If he isn't everything, then he's nothing to you. If he's not first, he'll not be second. Oh, I'm telling you, bless his holy name. He desires to be in the center of your life. He desires to feed you, clothe you, love you. And if you let him do it, he will be your everything. Amen. Now, amen. How many of you girls know that the Lord can take good care of you? Amen. And here's what that means, Miss Morgan. That means that the same God that got you to this point, amen. I'm about to get tanked up a little. I'm going somewhere. You're just going to have to let me get there, amen. Just let me get there. I'm going to eat chicken or something in a little bit, praise the Lord. Miss Morgan, the same God that's taking care of you all the way to right now, and He's taking good care of you, hasn't He? Hey, you missed any meals? You missed no meals? God's just taking good care of you, hasn't He? Here's what's so good, and I said this at camp. It's so good that the God that's taking care of you all the way to thus far, everything He's provided is an amen that God will continue to take care of you. Thank God He'll send the man that you need. And one day, if it be God's will, He'll take care of the babies that you give you. He'll put food on the table, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet. Well, glory to God, hallelujah. I serve a God that can take care of me, and He can take care of you. Thank God. I've been older. I've been young and now older. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Whoa, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I grew up in a pastor's home. Miss Caden. And which meant we was broke half the time. Say amen right there. We didn't get Fruit Loops, we got Fruity-O's. We didn't get Doritos, amen, we got cheesy triangles. Some of y'all, praise God, if I told you how bad we had it, you'd get your violins out. I grew up in that home. Hey man, we never really had the nicest clothes that others had. But I'll tell you what, we never went to bed hungry, not one night. Hey, man, I always had clothes to wear to school. I always had clothes to wear to church. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, man, and boy, I tell you what God was doing. God was building this little boy's faith. And God was building my faith to know this. I took care of you back there, and I'll take care of you tomorrow. I put food on your table back there, and I'll put food on the table tomorrow. I am God, I change not. I know who you are. I know where you are. And I know God can take care of you. Most of you, I don't know if any of you have, beside the pastor, have met my mama. I got an old school mama. She's not worried about being career lady. She's not worried about fitting in on Dr. Phil. Amen. She's not worried about, you know, keeping up, being a, you know, Vogue woman. But she can pray a hole in heaven. That's exactly right. And I thought about this. Growing up, here's what would happen. Brother Ab, we'd have a need come up. I You know, we get wearing through the hole, get wearing through your shoes. Amen. You done put duct tape and put, praise God, permanent markers on your shoes long enough. Amen. And my mom would go back there. She'd get the call on God. Jesus, we're trying to serve you. Jesus, my little boy needs some church shoes. Woo! Praise God. Hey, man, it might be a deacon put a little money in the preacher's hand. It might have been one of them good old glorified visits, amen. But it wouldn't take long. I'm glad God would meet the need. And the same God that's been taking care of me, thank God for 34 years. He'll keep on taking care of me. He'll keep on meeting my need. He knows my name. He knows my needs. He knows where we're at tonight. Order of discernment. Then, you move on quickly. Chapter number 7. And you come to chapter number 7. Now God is preparing the battle. Here it is. Boy, God help our faith. Here's what God is doing in this chapter. Paraphrase, and I got to hurry. That Gideon begins this battle. And he's got a very large number of men. But God tells Gideon, Gideon, if you win this battle like this, he said, you're not going to give me glory. Men will try to take glory for what I did. If you will give God glory for everything He does in your life, you will be amazed as what God will do through your life. Oh. And so God whittles the army from 22,000. He goes out and he said, all right, anybody wants to go home, you don't feel like fighting, if you're scared to fight, scared, hey, man, y'all know what scared is up here. And so he whittles it down. It goes from 22,000 to 10,000. And then he takes them down to a brook. And Brother Silas, at that brook, he tells them to drink water. And everybody who laps like a dog, he said, you send them back home. Everybody else who gathers water in their hands and they drink water that way, he said, you keep them. So God whittled that army down to 300 men. And with 300 men, Gideon found out that when the Lord is all you have, the Lord is all you have. There's a side of God that most people never get to see. There's a side of serving Jesus that most folks miss because all their life they spend arguing with God. They're trying to figure God out. They're trying to get in God's way. But when you remember this, that He is all I need. He is all I need. He's everything I need. He'll not lead me wrong. He'll not lead me astray. He'll take good care of me. You'll find out this, that God knows what He's doing. And when the Lord is all you have, thank God the Lord is all you need. When the Lord is all you have, He's all you need. Amen. In your weakest hour, He'll be your peace. Amen. I'm telling you, through the water, through the fire, He's a faithful friend indeed. Friends will turn their back. Problems will come. There will be dark days. But thank God, God never changes. And God never leaves. He'll be everything. Amen. When He's everything to you, He'll be everything to you. Amen. Brother Scott, I'm talking about got a track record of not ever one time failing or letting me down. Not one of us. Amen. Giants, zero. Amen. Jesus wins. Problems, zero. Jesus wins. Difficulties, walls, mountains, valleys, adversaries. Thank God's when stacked up to Him, you'll find every giant is all so small. Because He is an overcoming God that gives His people overcoming power. Be good if we realize this. We're not serving some weak mind, you worry. He ain't popping pills and drinking Maalox. He's on the throne and He's in full control and He's still in full power and He's looking. He's looking for some people who will step out by faith and believe God.
Gideon finds out that when it's all you have is all you need. He finds out that God will use what he will to get maximum glory. You find he uses some very simple things here. You notice in the text in verse 16, he divided the 300 men into three companies, put a trumpet in every man's hand, and empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And so God used some very simple things to use some very great things. I'm glad God uses simple people for great things. Amen. Chapter 7, the battle ensues. These 300 men get the victory. You come to chapter number 8. And in chapter number 8, you'll find that some of the people begin to rise up and said, hey, why didn't you call on us? Can I say this? Gideon did call. They just didn't come. You know where I want to be? You know where I want to be when God needs me? I want to be ready. Amen. You know where I want to be on Sunday morning? I want to be, praise God, at Lighthouse Baptist Church, Pageland, South Carolina. Woo! I still can't believe God let me pastor a church. Amen. That might not mean much to you, but I know what I was and I know where I was. Hallelujah. I can't believe I really get to do have the work I'm doing for Jesus. It's a joy. Amen. Miss Sarah pinched me right there. Don't do it real hard. Woo! Serving Jesus. I promise you, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, any of that crowd, they never go to bed and say, boy, I can't believe I really get to live this life. I really get to have this muscle that comes through serving Jesus. Amen. Chapters number 8, you'll find that there is a pursuit after the two remaining kings of the Midians, Midianites, Zeba and Zalmunna. Now watch this. Let me give you the message. Watch this. In the Word of God, you'll find that they have been captured. They have been taken under siege. And the Bible tells us in verse number 20 that Gideon looks towards his son. He sends the Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. I got a work for you to do. But the Bible said that the youth drew not his sword. Now, thought about this. Now, I'm going to go up some. Watch here. I thought about this. There are many youth who are not drawing their sword or doing the work that God has labored for them to do. Now, there are many reasons why some are not drawn the sword because of people in their life. Some are not drawn the sword because of pride in their life. Some are not drawn the sword because of weights in their life and their hindrances and their obstacles and their problems that's keeping you from being everything God desires you to be. Whatever it is, whoever it is, if you're going to be something for God, when God puts his finger on it right then, give it up, give it to Jesus, and go serve God. Amen. You give your plan up, he's got a better plan waiting on you. You give your people up that's hindering you, he's got, hey, praise God, we in church with the best people in the world tonight. Hey, amen. I know y'all might not like me, but I love y'all to death. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, this is one of the greatest joys is the people that we get to serve God with. And when you choose the world's people, you're giving up the relationships. You're giving up the joy of serving God with His people. I'm telling you, stay with the church. I like what the pastor said the first night. God ain't going to give you nothing. That's going to pull you away from the church. Why in the world would anybody want to pull away from, praise God, RBT. Say amen right there. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Watch this. In the text, it mentions that he didn't draw his sword, for he feared. He feared. So we know specifically, Jether does not draw the sword because there's fear in his life. Now, I thought about this. Zeba and Zalmunna. The word Zeba means victim. Means victim. I wonder how many people are playing the victim card and they can't do anything for God. Well, I don't come from this family. We don't have this. We don't have that. I'm not asking, do you what kind of family you come from? I ask how much money you got. I'm asking you, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you know how to call on God? It's time to quit playing the victim card and step up to the plate and be something for Jesus Christ. Zeba Zalmunna means strange image, an idol. If Jether is going to go any further, he's going to have to learn how to slay Zeba and Zalmunna. there are some Zebas and Zalmunas in your life need to be dealt with. Amen. The Bible said he didn't draw. Now, let me make an application. Brother Silas, I need your help. Brother Silas, could you? You stand right here. And Randy, you come stand. You come stand up here as well. Okay. Everybody okay? Say amen right there. I'm going somewhere now. Watch this. All right. We got Zeba and Zalmunna. Amen. Watch this. Come here, Lily. Come here, Lily. This is going to be Jether, but or Jetheretta. Come here, Jetheretta. Now, Lily, looking at this, that'd be a tough battle, wouldn't it? Are you with me? Would everybody agree that, I mean, that'd be pretty tough for you to whoop them boys, wouldn't it? Now, if we turn this thing around, let me have your Bible. Where's your Bible at? Let me have your Bible. This thing's King James, ain't it? Say amen right there. Okay, I believe we all right. Now, but if you got a sword in your hand, and these boys is bound up, hands behind their back, huh? Now, you got the sword. Now, they're tied up. They can't do a thing to you. They can't do anything. How many of us don't think Lily can handle this thing now? Now go ahead. You face this crowd right here. Just stand right here beside her. Now, watch this. Now, we know the context of Scripture, Brother Pridmore, that the Bible said that Jether feared. Why? Why is this youth afraid when they've got the upper hand? Are you with me? Now watch this. He is looking at them. As a matter of fact, the Bible said in the very next verse that Zeba and Zalmunna begin to use their tongue to tell them what they cannot do. I'm preaching an eye on you can make it. Now watch this. Watch this. Now here's what we look at our text. But according to the Word of God, the first thing we know is that God is on Jether's side, isn't he? I'm going to come back to that. Not only do we know that, but the Bible tells us that not only do we find her with a sword and they're bound up, but also Gideon's there, a mighty man of valor. You say, well, that ain't what I say when I see Gideon. Well, praise God. Hey, man, you sound a lot like the world does when they look at you. I don't see them doing much. I don't see them. You know what you are not? You are making up in your mind that God will help you to never possess the gift of discouragement. I never found those mentioned in the gifts of the church. Time out. I ran the rabbit. I shot it. I'm going back to the message. Now watch this. Watch this. So Gideon's there. Gideon's there. Not only is Gideon there, so Gideon's standing right there with him. Hey, it's going to be okay. You can take him out. Go ahead and slay him. Now let's get in there. But the Bible tells us that there's an army right there with them. Brother Pridmore, there is no reason for Jether to be scared if he'll stop and realize who and what all is on his side. I'm going to tell you why you can make it. Are you ready? Simple. Here it is. Simple. Simple. You ready? Here we go. I'm telling you, you can make it. RBT, young people, those that are visiting, you can make it. Can I tell you why? Let me just remind you who's on your side. Can I do that? Everybody okay? Watch this. Can I say, first of all, your pastor's on your side. Come here, Brother Rackley. We're about to eat. Hey, they look like they got the upper hand, but we're about to even this thing out. Hey, man. So, Lily, you was by yourself. You thought you was by yourself. There's a work to do, but now, praise God, you got the man of God is behind you. And they're saying, Lily, you can't do it. Lily, you can't amount to something for God. Lily, you can't do this. But over here behind her, there's a man of God who's saying, you can do it. You can win the battle. You can get the victory. Ain't you glad God gave you a man of God who ain't so stuck on himself? He ain't stuck on his own plans. But he's pouring his life out. He's pouring his life out to help your young people get to God and let them know, yes, 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 you can make it. How do I know I can make it? I'm telling you right now, your pastor is on your side. This is testified about glad that she knows her pastor is carrying a burden. Amen. Amen.
I wonder how many times, can I just, Brother Seabolt's with me right here. I wonder how many times the man of God closed his eyes to go to sleep, and the last thing he did was look at that youth choir, start naming them off. I wonder how many times the last thing he did before he fell asleep, he thinks about sitting over here and he begins to go up in every pew, and he's praying for God not to just save them babies, but God to make them spiritual, sold out, saturated. But let me just say, how long has it been since you thanked him for being on your baby's side? Amen. How long's it been since you said, man of God, I want you to know I'm 100% in your corner. I'm behind you all the way, preacher. If you want to take him to camp, praise God, I'll send the money. If you want to take him down the road for ice cream, we'll give the money. Oh, preacher, whatever you want to do, we're in your corner. Thank you for loving my babies. Thank you for carrying a burden. Thank you for being a man of God. Thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for preaching the word. Thank God, preacher. You're on my side. You thought you was by yourself. But Lily, you got a prince of preachers. You got a prince of preachers. That is in Lily's corner. Everybody okay? Watch this. Not only can you make it because your pastor's on your side, but can I say this second? Hey, watch this. Praise God. I know most of you young people, I'm about to make all the connections and all that, but your parents are on your side. Miss June, would you and your brother, would you mind, y'all mind coming up here? I wouldn't embarrass nobody for nothing. I really wouldn't. I feel a little bit more bolder when I get around Miss June. Watch this. Watch this now. Praise God, this is helping me. They was running their mouth a while ago. And they was talking you down a while ago, wasn't they? The enemy, the task that says Lily can't do it. But thank God there's a man of God. Aren't you glad? Thank God there's some mamas and daddies that have sold out to God. Ain't you glad, young people, that God gave you some mamas and daddies that'll get on your side. It'll ag you on to be something for God. They're saying go for God. They're saying baby, go for God. A daughter, go for God. Son, go for God. I set your sails and go for God. Don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about nobody. Just go for God. Some parents that have just made up in their mind, I want my baby to be something for Jesus. I don't care if they can't outrun everybody. I don't care. I don't care if they don't make $1 million. I just want their life. I just want them to get a little taste of the glory. I just want them to know what it's like to serve God. I want them to know what it's like to touch heaven and have heaven to touch you. And mom and dad is behind you saying, hey, go for God. Lily, you know how blessed you are to have not just parents, but to have Miss June. Hey, man, as a mama. Brother, please forgive me. Tell me your name again. Brother, you know how blessed you are to have Brother Mike as your daddy. Good night. Hey. We get little kids brought to our church. We got foster parents in our church. We get them dropped off from every background with all kinds of drug problems. They're days old and addicted to every drug you can think of. They're crying. I mean, they get taken from messed up homes. They get taken from all kind of backgrounds. They get taken and they get dropped off in the middle of the night at Jeremy and Tiffany's house. And Brother Jeremy and Tiffany takes them in and they love on them. And as soon as Wednesday night or Sunday night rolls around, they bring them down to Lighthouse Baptist Church and they get them around Jesus. Because we know this, that if Jesus gets in the house, if Jesus gets in that house, he can change them for time and eternity. Lily, they're pretty big. Hey, but look now, it's starting to get in your favor. You know what I think? I think you can make it. Wait a minute now. Hold wait. Hey, okay, it gets a little bit better. Watch this. I thought about this, RBT. I thought about this youth group. What about some youth leaders? I mean, some adults that really care. Hey, Brother Craddock, Miss Susan, come on. Just come on. If that grandbaby wants to come, bring him on too. It won't be long. He'll be up here anyway. But just come on. Lily, I didn't think you could take him before. But I'm going to be honest with you. It's looking pretty good for you.
Hey.
Let me say something right here. Let me say something. It is a priceless gift in a church to have other adults that care as much about your children as you do. To know that when you can't be there, praise God for those who will back them up and those that will love them and those that will take them and those that will pick them up and those that will shelter them. Thank God for those parents, but sometimes you can't be there. But thank God there's a whole host of mamas and daddies. There's a whole host of people in the church house at RBT that says, hey, it's okay. Let's just go for God. Let's go for God. Let's go for God. Thought about this. Thought about that little baby boy back here, born a little over a pound old. And boy, look what God's doing. He likes the preacher. He came to me last night and loved on me. But what, you know what the greatest thing you can do for that baby back here, young people and adults, is to make sure that as he grows older, you don't lose what you have now. I'm sure right now if somebody were to walk in here and try to hurt that baby, I promise you every one of us in here would tear that person apart. We'd put the walls up. If somebody tried to do damage there, tried to discourage him, we'd put a wall up. We'd fight for that child. But can I say as the years roll up, it's a blessing when God puts some adults in the church and say, preacher, we don't just want a building. We don't want to just have a church building. But we want to have a place where God shows up so that one day he'll know that, yes, son, you can make it. Lily, does Billy and Miss Susan love you? Have they shown they loved you? Man, Miss June, she was outnumbered a minute ago. It's looking pretty good now. Hey, man, we ain't done yet. Watch this. Wait a minute now. I'm trying to hurry. I thought about this. What about memories? Things that God not only lets you see, but God lets you be a part of. Brother Ackley, you got them over there? Watch this. Everybody get comfortable. We okay? Where's Miss Ackley? I can keep going if she says it's okay. Watch this. I asked young people the other night, I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write down your favorite memory of being in the youth group at RBT, okay? Watch this. I think of all the favorite memories. I think of my all-time favorite memory was at RBT Youth Camp 2014 in that unforgettable service that marked my life for all eternity. Did you hear what I said? That marked my life. You can't get that at a university. You can't buy that at Walmart. You can't get that out there in the dope house. You can't get that at the bar house. But I hope that God of heaven reached down and put something in their soul that by the grace of God, they will never get over. Amen. I would like to use a little bit more of that, couldn't you? Hey, watch this. He ain't here. I don't know where he's at. I miss him. You know whose name that is? Yeah, watch this. My favorite memory of being in the RBT youth group is going to RBT youth camp this summer. And I got saved by the grace of God on June the 2nd, 2015. It was the best decision I ever made in my life. All right, 1 minute recess. Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! It's good to be saved! It's good to be in the Word! Hallelujah! I won't read them all, but watch this. My all-time favorite memory would be getting in the glory with my best friends. How many of you got in the glory with your best friends when you was in your teenage years?
the unity that we have in worship leaves you hungry for more of Him. To know Him is what I want more. Huh? Memories. Memories. Hey, man. My favorite memory was when I broke my arm and the youth came to see me at the hospital. My favorite youth member, when I testified on Friday night, it was special because God gave me a testimony. My favorite youth camp memory is when Makai preached for Brother Aldridge at youth camp. But watch this, watch this. And Grayson getting saved. I'm some fool. I'm about to swim to the fellowship hall. I love being able to come here and feel like a family. I know that someone always has my back, and I couldn't be more grateful for that. Everybody okay? On the last night of youth camp, when me and the girls just sat around in the dorms, we talked and laughed some more. No girl was left out. It was such a great memory. And I don't want to embarrass her, but that was at the youth camp when God worked to make and do everything He could to savage Miss Kaylee. The devil tried his best to make sure that night never came, didn't he? The services and seeing Grayson get saved. And my favorite memories of our youth group are the times it went to help or be a blessing to other churches through singing. At RB Camp 2014, after devotions on Monday night, we got down and prayed, and I started naming who God is to me. And it wasn't before long that God came down and met with me. One of my favorite memories is when God came and walked through the Friday night service at RBT Camp 2014. I like this. Another one of my favorite memories is when we finally saw the bridge on the tubing trip. One of my favorite memories is swimming at the pool at RBT Youth Camp. One of my favorite memories is when we were at RB Camp 2015 Monday night, when the presence of God was so thick and it blessed my heart. One of my favorite memories was Thursday night at Light on the Mountain Youth Camp 2015, when the Lord showed me that He is worthy of my praise. Amen. Amen. I have a lot of good memories of our youth group, but one of the best is when we had our youth camp and we sang about the Lord coming. To see so many of our youth praise the Lord and not worry about anything or anybody else, just praising the Lord with all that was within me. Another would be watching for the bridge. Being exposed to Spirit-filled preaching and services with my best friend. My favorite thing was the services that blessed me so much. Are you getting the picture here? Your pastor will testify to this, brother. You pastor, there are adults that will have no idea what that's about. Come here, Sarah. You come up here and just cry up here a little bit. You be a memory. I think it'd be good for her to be a memory, wouldn't it? Son, Lily, I didn't know if you could make it, but I'm convinced that you can make it now. But could I say this? Some 2,000 years ago on Golgotha's Hill, the Son of God laid His life down for me. Hallelujah. Paid for my every sin. Paid my every debt. All went to Calvary. If I'd have been the only one, I believe He would have went. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. What of Golgotha's Hill? Laid His life down for mine. Went into an old borrowed tomb. Thank God. 3 days later resurrected. And thank God from heaven's throne. He cries out, "You can make it." Hold these for just a second. I'm done right here. Watch this. In Psalm 83, don't turn there, don't turn there. Psalm 83, just mark it and go to it later. Psalm 83 is a psalm that is dedicated of praise to enemies that have been defeated. You know what two names that are mentioned in there? Zeba and Zalmunna. And Zeba and Zalmunna thought they was going to overtake and they were going to win. They were going to get out of it. They thought they were going to intimidate. Are you listening? And if Jether would have just looked around and look at who was on his side, the youth didn't have to fear. But he could have drawn the same sword out at the pastor and these parents and these youth leaders and these members are. And Jether could have slayed Zeba and Zalmunna. Now, God used Gideon, and that's why they're in that psalm singing it. But I want to go a little bit further than that. Now, Miss Lily, regardless of who it is and what it is, when you come to it, I'm telling you, you can make it. And then, just like in that psalm, you can sing, He's been faithful. Faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet He's been faithful. Faithful to me. You're going to face some giants. You're going to face some battles. But you can make it. You can make it. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your help. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you, Lily. I'm just trying to get you to stop for just a minute and look around. And I'm telling you, young people, where can I make it, preacher? You can make it down the marriage aisle pure. You can marry in the will of God. You can make it. You can be something great for God. I'm telling you, you can make it, brother. You just got saved. You just got, hey, bro, whatever. God, hey, you can make it. Amen. You ain't got to fall out. You ain't got to get mad. You ain't got to burn out. You ain't got to blow out. You can make it. Brother Brad, been a lot of hours in that study. Been a lot of trials down there, a lot of time away from your family. Hey, trust me, Brother Brad, you can make it. Precious man of God.
Bless your heart.
Precious man of God.
Bless your heart, preacher.
You can make it, man of God.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, brother.
Sunday morning rolls around.
Amen.
Get in the pulpit. Amen. Preach it. Monday morning. God has divinely, providentially got you ready for back to Bethel week one. Mm. I promise you, you can make it.
Goodness, brother.
Mm. You can make it.
Hallelujah.
And I can make it.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
You can make it. You can make it. Father, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your goodness.